How many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, stand up and raise it above your head. Bear witness of God's word. Amen. You may be seated, please. Turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew, chapter 15. When you find your place, say, I have it. I know that today is Mother's Day, and the sermon will be about a mother that we see in the Bible. A mother that, of course, is not even named. We don't even see her name. And that's the unselfish nature of the mother. She's just the mother. We know a little bit about her, and we'll be able to see what action she did to be able to get the healing of her child, what she had to fight through, what she had to persevere. We're going to be talking today about faith. You say, well, of course we're going to be talking about faith. We're at church. But not just the faith that we think about. In this story, I was able to see something that I don't think I've ever seen before. It was one of those times where it lets us think beyond just the natural level that we want to think on. You know, if I were to ask you today, how many people in here have faith in God? If you have faith in God, raise your hand. Amen. Easy question. Immediately you go to your mind and you say, do I believe in God? Yes. How many people have faith and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Amen. That's great. But if I were to ask you to go in detail, and don't raise your hand, if I were to ask you what level of faith you had, what would you say? You say, is faith on levels? Faith is absolutely on levels. And we're going to see today that God rewards your faith on a certain level. In being able to read this story and being able to see what he was trying to speak, I know that when he had Matthew write this story and we were seeing this day in the life of Jesus, that it was put here for us to be able to look at today and be able to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what level of faith do I have? Not do I have faith. Let me ask you to begin with, how many in here have ever prayed for some specific thing? How many people in here, after praying for that specific thing, didn't feel like you even got an answer? How many people felt like you got the answer you didn't want? Then at what level did you stop praying? You see, we have levels of faith. All levels are rewarded differently. If you watch any kind of competition, whether it's a playoff or whether it's something that you see on TV, certain people progress to a certain level. And the higher the level, the higher the reward. And we see a story of a mother in Matthew chapter 15. And I want you to look at this as just something inside of this mother, this belief, this faith inside of this mother. But it doesn't just relate to mothers. It's not something that every guy here today can say, oh, this is going to be about mothers, so I'm going to go ahead and use this time to catch up on my sleep. You can do that. I'm going to call you out today if you do that. I'm going to call you out by name. No, I'm not. But I want us to begin reading about this mother. And I want to sort of set the scene. This woman was from Canaan. A Canaanite woman. Understand that this woman was not a Jewish woman. Now, I want to set the scene for you really quickly. The Jewish people, which we call the Jewish people, are descendants of the children of Israel, of Jacob's sons. They're called the children of Israel. They are Abraham's descendants, which are called God's chosen people. The Bible clearly tells us that the Messiah, the Christ, was going to come from the seed of David. He's going to be a descendant of Abraham. And so we know that Jesus was a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of Jacob. He came from that line. And so the Bible tells us that they are his chosen people. And so because of this, they had a sense in their mind that they were chosen. Even though they didn't worship a lot of times like they should have, they looked down on other people that were not Jewish. Now, not all of them, but some of them looked down. But it divided people between what we call the Jews and what the Gentiles. Now, the majority of people that are here today, and those that are listening, those that live in our area, are Gentiles. That means that you're not Jewish. This lady was a Gentile, okay? She was, it tells us where she was from. from the coast, the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is on the outskirts of the Jewish land, which Jesus had went to the outskirts after he was rejected. He went to the outskirts, but this lady was a Gentile woman. You just need to know that. So I want you to understand this lady had a problem. Matthew chapter 15. She had a problem that related to her being a mother. The problem was her child was in trouble. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not. Did you hear that? What does it say? He answered her, say it with me, not. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. This is the second time this lady's cried out like a mother, right? Mothers, would you cry out for your children? Yes, every day. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. A short story in the day of the life of Jesus that doesn't get preached on because we live in such a politically correct world that nobody wants to tackle this section of Scripture. Pastors don't want to tackle it because they are afraid that it paints Jesus in a bad light. I want us to look at this today and see the beautiful thing that he's trying to show us in this. I want you to understand that her daughter was grievously vexed with a devil. This mother was coming to Jesus on behalf of her child that had some sort of demon possession. Do you realize that there's a lot of people that might say, that would be horrible if my child was demon possessed? We think of demon possessed being a picture of the exorcist that jumps in our mind from the movie, right? But what we need to know today is that every person who is of the age of accountability, that knows right from wrong, that refuses to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that refuses to have the Holy Spirit possessing them, is still possessed by the devil. You say, oh, well, I don't know. Understand that the lie that's being told today of universalism, which says that all of us are children of God, we're all just children of God. As soon as we're born, we're children of God. Well, understandably, I would halfway agree when a child is under the age of accountability, knowing right from wrong, God's grace covers that child. But the Bible clearly says in John 3:16, which we know that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, the action of believeth, should not perish but have eternal life. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that we're not given the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. That way we become God's child. But John 3:17 and 18, if you go on to read, it tells us that God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world so that we should be saved. But if we refuse him, then we're condemned. That means we don't get to be saved. So understand, you can't just say, I belong to this church, so I'm saved. We can't just say, I've passed this class that the church put me through, so I'm saved. There has to be a time when you personally believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If not, the Holy Spirit doesn't possess you. A person that's not saved is possessed by the wrong spirit. Does that make them a worse person than you? No. I'll tell you all the time that I'm a sinner that's been saved by grace. Did I deserve it? No. So do I judge those people? No, I want them to be saved. I want them to see the grace of God. But we always think that here's this thing of demon possession. It's this picture of the exorcist. Understand, that could be a picture of ultimate possession, but Jesus said in John 8:44, when he was speaking to the Pharisees, he said, "You're of your father, the devil," right? So who does that mean possessed them? So let's look at another way. Do you realize that every person that is saved, just consider this, is saved and they know that they're saved, but that person is living under the possession of an evil spirit in them. Now, if they're saved and they have the Holy Spirit in them, then the devil can't possess their soul. Amen. Once you give it to God, the devil cannot get it. We praise God for that. What he tries to possess is your mind. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, right? Do you know that there is a real spirit that comes upon a person, a spirit of discouragement? Anybody ever had that spirit come upon them? What about the spirit of depression? What about the spirit of fear? What about the spirit of worry? What about the spirit of hate? What about the spirit of resentment, anger, jealousy? Should I go on? Now, do those spirits come from God? No, he said, "I have not given you the spirit of bondage again to fear." So we know immediately he didn't give that spirit. If he didn't give it, where'd that spirit come from? Does it happen to Christians? It does when we allow it. So we go back to last week. When we allow it to get on first base and we entertain it, and we allow it to get to second base and entertain it, and allow it to get to third base and entertain it, we're allowing that spirit to continually be in our mind, and so we just begin to dwell on it, That's a possession. I want to just make it simple. This lady was coming to Jesus because her child was sick. How many people in here, parents, have ever had a sick child? When a child is sick, we do everything we can to get that child better. And I would say mothers have this extra special thing in them that will make them sit with that child, will make them just nurture that child. They've had that child, and they do whatever they can to help that child get physically better. But how many mothers in here have ever had a child that was spiritually sick? How many mothers have ever had a child that didn't have the Spirit of God working in it at that time, but you could tell there was another one? Is there any greater heartache than to know that your child is separated from God? Children in here, young people, you have to know that there are so many tears that are shed on behalf of children that go away from the Lord. Mother's Day to me, and I told my mother this day before yesterday when I got to see her, the thing that I thanked her for was never stopping praying when I was away from the Lord. Amen. She prayed me back to the Lord. She never gave up on me. Did I do what I wasn't supposed to? I did. But she didn't do me away. Why? She's my mother. She kept going to the Lord on my behalf, just like this woman did. Going to the Lord on my behalf, fighting through. And what about when I disappointed her the first time? She kept going back. The second time, she kept going back. She had a different level of faith. And what I want us to be able to see today, it doesn't just apply to mothers. If you really love something, you'll fight with your faith to get it. And when we say at the onset of the sermon, we have faith, that's one thing. But I want us to see today, there's a lot of things that God would grant us if we had the level of faith that he wanted. Not just believing that he could do it, but accepting that he didn't do it, but I still believe he can. He didn't do it, but I still believe he can. So I want us to look at the picture of this lady. You see, this mother could see how it was harming her child, and she knew the only way for her to have her child healed was to come to Jesus and cry out to him for his mercy and for his healing. I ask you today, if you realize that your child was in spiritual trouble, would you want to talk to Jesus and ask him to help you? Amen. Would you want to talk to Jesus and ask him to help your child? Well, that's what this woman did. You say, yeah, but she had Jesus in front of her, and so do you. You're no different than her. You can go to the Lord and speak to him the same way that she did. So we use her as a pattern today. I want you to see something interesting. I want you to see the fight that this mother had to fight for her child. It was a fight of faith. She had to overcome the desire to give up. She didn't get the results that she wanted at first. She had to push through and display a deeper level of faith. Not just surface faith. Not just faith believing that Jesus could heal her child. She had to face her own discouragement when she didn't get the response that she wanted from Jesus. How many of us give up when we don't get the response that we want from Jesus? You say, I don't give up. Well, let me ask you something. Have you started to figure out your own way besides believing in him? Then you gave up on him. Have you ever got upset thinking, why in the world would God do this? Why can't he answer this prayer? I've prayed it so sincerely. This is a good time to answer. He's looking. He knows if you have or not. Have you ever gotten like that?
Yeah.
I have. This lady fought, but she fought with something that we don't talk about. We get so caught up in just the language of this particular story sometimes, and we're going to address that language today straight on. In verse 22, it says, she came to Jesus and she cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. I want you to notice the response she received from Jesus in verse 23. Listen to this response. He answered her not. Mothers, when you want something for your child and your child was sick and you came to a doctor and you said, hey, can you tell me, look, my child is running a fever and he's got this going on. If the doctor didn't even answer you, how upset would you be? It's a good time to do what? Find another doctor. This lady was a believer. She knew the only way her child was going to be healed was to have Jesus heal her child. Could she have given up at this time and said, I'll try another way? She could have. The second thing we see is after Jesus didn't even answer her, we see the disciples. They say, this lady crieth out all the time. Basically, if you want the translation, this woman is getting on our nerves. Listen to this section of chapter 15. It says, the disciples, verse 23, came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Almost to say, can you please give her what she wants so she'll quit following us around? Listen, this was an intent mother, right? That natural mother, just like that bird. You know, I had a bird that I saw the other day that fell out of a nest. And I watched that mother bird relentlessly, and I couldn't get that bird back into that nest. And I sat and thought, what to do? That mother never quit, never quit, never quit. This lady never quit, even to the point where somebody was saying, please. I mean, even at that, what if she would have got offended to say, hey, they don't understand it's my child. I'm going to go somewhere else because these disciples, they were saying, just send her away. But Jesus, after that, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus made a statement here in verse 24. It says, he answered and said, and this is right where she could hear it, am I not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Let me tell you what just happened. Not only did he not answer her, but then he answered his disciples in front of her where she could hear. And basically what he said was that she was not a Jew. Hey, I was sent to the Jews. But I want you to understand the language. Jesus was not saying this in a mean way, or you're going to begin to call him rude. What he was doing was he was testing everybody around him, but he was testing this lady. And he said, wasn't I just sent to the Jewish people? You know, my people, God's chosen people. Just to see what the answer would be. Turn to his disciples. Doesn't say what they said, but surely they wanted her to go away. Yeah. She's not even a Jew. Just send her away. She's a Gentile. Did this lady give up? Did she get her feelings hurt? No. She came back again. She had faith past the level of rejection. Faith last past the level of anger. She came to him in verse 25, and it says she worshiped him. How in the world can she still come and worship him? Because this guy is her only hope for her child.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Mothers, if your child was behind me and your child was in danger and I was holding a machete and I was trying to keep you from your child, would you still come through me?
Sure.
Yes, you would. If you believed the only way to get to your child was to get to your child. And that's what this lady believed. She really believed it. But she believed it at a different level than we even believe it today. She had a faith at this different level. So many times we give up or get discouraged or get our feelings hurt and we blame God if He doesn't answer our prayers when and how we want Him to. But the truth is, sometimes the answer to our prayer depends on the level of our faith. The answer to our prayer depends on the level of our faith. If we're willing to have a different level of faith to help us fight the evil spirit of discouragement or anger or resentment, and if we still trust God to heal the situation. You see, this mother had a level of faith that helped her daughter to be healed. So I would think we would want to look at her example. We know that she never gave up. She didn't get offended by what Jesus said. She put her own teachings aside and her own pride aside because it was about her child. It wasn't about her. She didn't respond to Jesus by saying that she was a good fit mother and that she didn't deserve to be talked to like that. She just cried out for mercy. She humbled herself. She persevered. She kept fighting for what the child needed, which was healing, because the child was more important than she was. She had faith that Jesus could heal her child, and she knew that He was her only hope. So she kept coming to Him. She kept accepting disappointment. He wasn't saying what she wanted to hear, knowing He was her only hope. And instead of getting upset at Jesus and getting her feelings hurt, she kept asking Him more earnestly, help me, help me, help me. Even though we don't physically stand in front of Jesus and ask Him something, this particular scene is played out every time we pray. What I would ask you is, do we ask Jesus with the persistence that this woman had? And you may say, Jesus doesn't want us to keep asking. But if you're reading this story, it's clear that He does. Do you know that He tells us to pray without ceasing? You say, well, I don't want to bug God. I've already asked Him for it. Well, either I'm reading this story wrong or that thought is wrong. You know when people stop asking God for something? When they give up on it. Weak faith gives up. Weak faith gets discouraged. Weak faith gets offended. Weak faith looks for other avenues to get what we want. But strong faith is persistent. It doesn't give up. Strong faith fights through discouragement. Strong faith doesn't take it personal and get offended. Strong faith doesn't look for other avenues to get what we need. Strong faith looks to God as the only way to truly get the desires of our heart. God rewards strong faith. I saw a part in this message that I thought was really, really intriguing. Instead of getting upset or discouraged, she looked at herself and she thought, maybe I've not been humble enough. Maybe I haven't prayed good enough. So she came and she bowed down in front of Him. It says she worshiped Him and said, what? Lord, help me. This is already after He had spoken about, did I not come to the lost house of Israel, to the sheep of Israel? She came and worshiped Him saying, Lord, help me. Look at the way she approached Jesus. She knelt before Him. When you kneel before somebody, you're submitting. She called Him what? Lord. She submitted to His authority. She looked to Him for her own help, not looked to herself for her help. She wasn't coming to get help for herself. She was coming to get help for her child. But the thing about it is, mothers know, that child, when it comes into this world as a part of you, it is part of you. You would rather help that child than help yourself, right?
Amen.
She fought against her own desire to give up. She fought against her own pride of being offended or having a request rejected. She fought against her own desire to try to find another way. She fought against her own mind and her own emotions. And she threw herself at Jesus' feet. Showed great faith in saying, Lord, help me. I believe You can save my child. But you'll notice I keep saying she fought through her own mind and being offended. I get to verse 26. And I know this is why nobody wants to touch this passage of Scripture. Jesus said to her, "It is not meet." That means it is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. The children he's speaking of are the children of Israel. Is she a child of Israel? No. She's what? Are you keeping up? What is she? She's a Gentile. Jesus' statement is basically saying, is it right for me to take the miracles that I have for God's chosen people and give it to the Gentiles? You say, well, then why did he say dogs? Because understand, the Jewish people referred to the Gentiles as dogs. They had this Phariseeism where they thought because they were God's chosen people, they were better and the Gentiles were unclean, and so they called them dogs. You say, well, then Jesus shouldn't have called her a dog. If you read this, you're going to think, hey, he's being really rude in saying this. I want you to understand what's at work here, and you're going to before we finish talking. You know the reason we have a hard time accepting this? Because we get offended so easily. Our whole world and society today is the most easily offended society that has ever been.
Amen.
It is the most thin-skinned bunch of sissies that have ever walked the face of the earth. We don't like to be called this, and we don't like to be called that if it doesn't properly identify us or esteem us to a high position. And we take offense so much that you can't turn on the news without somebody being offended that somebody wasn't referred to in the same way, even as the simple minds of the children, the natural minds that told you this morning that a man cannot be a mother. We still have to be so delicate with our language to where we can't say that a man is not a woman. And somebody can get in trouble or fired if they say something against it. You know why? Because we have been sensitized to the fact that no one can say anything offensive because we just can't handle it. You would see it example after example on an everyday basis about our politically correct speech. And I want you to know that Jesus was letting her be able to get to the level of faith that she needed to get to. You see, I don't want you to forget the end of the story, the most important part. Jesus healed her daughter.
Amen.
You say, well, why do you want to preach on? Why do you think it's important to state from the pulpit that we don't need to be so thin-skinned? Listen, it's not just society, it's in the church. Do you realize that on any given day, somebody can get offended by what I say up here speaking on behalf of the Lord, and you will choose that it didn't hit you right? So for that reason, you're not going to serve here. You're not going to worship here. And your child is not going to do this, or you're not going to do this because it struck you wrong. Like everything has to be said to cater to you. But that's the way we begin to think. It's no different than that natural thing in the mother that says, you can't say that about my child. Right? It's this defense mechanism. But we've gotten to that place today to where we're so easily offended that we don't accept anything if it doesn't come to us the right way. You say, then why are you preaching on it? I'm going to tell you why I'm preaching on it. This is the downfall. When you raise a society and generation that can't be talked to straightforward, that can't be told they're wrong, that can't be told that they're different, when you raise that society, that person is going to grow up, and when the Holy Spirit convicts them to come to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit says, you're a sinner, you're wrong, you're out of the will of God, you need to get saved, that person's going to reject it because it's been bred in them to say, you can't talk to me like that, God. I am something. Listen, before we come to God, we've got to be nothing. And if we raise a generation that says, oh, we're such sissies, we can't even be talked to and told that we're wrong. Listen, it's not just affecting the church. It's affecting the workplace. It's affecting families. You can't even discipline. You can't correct anymore because people say, you can't speak to me that way. Our example is in Matthew chapter 15. This lady said, hey, he just told me that I wasn't a Jew. I'm going to keep on trying because he's my only help. The next thing he told me was that, listen, these miracles are for the children of Israel. And he said, how can I give them to the dogs? She said, hey, he must be referring to me as a dog. You know what she said? The next verse, truth. She said, truth. She didn't say, hey, I'm not a dog. I'm a fit mother. You can't talk to me like that. She had a child that needed to be saved. She had a child that needed to be healed. She had a love for something. So what happened? She had to go to the next level of faith. The first level of faith would have got discouraged when Jesus didn't even answer her. He didn't answer me. I'm done with him. The second level of faith would have happened when she said, I'm not qualified because I'm not part of this group. I'm not good enough to go to this church. I'm not this or that, so I'm not going to turn to Jesus. She went past that level of faith. The next level of faith was a level of criticism where they said, send her away. The next level of faith was when Jesus said, am I supposed to take my miracles and cast it to the dogs? You know what? She agreed with him. You know what? She said, hey, you know what? You're right. I'm a dog. I'm a dog. Amen. You want to call me a dog? You say, how in the world she could call herself a dog? It wasn't about her. It was about her child. You know what she did? She humbled herself. She said, listen, I'm a dog. I'll be a dog. I'll put myself at the bottom for my child. I'll be a dog. But guess what? Even the dog gets to eat the crumbs from the master's table. Can I translate that for you? Jesus, I'm not anybody. I just want my child healed. I have faith past the level of insulting. I have faith past the level of rejecting. Faith past the level of disappointment. I have faith that you and only you can do this. Yeah. Jesus, listen, if I'm a dog, I'll be your dog because I know the master even takes care of his dog. So the crumb that falls from your table takes care of my child. I'll take it. I don't care what it labels me. That can't happen in a politically correct world that's so easily offended these days. That's why we got to get over it. That's why we got to get tougher. The only reason that people are getting offended is because they're full of pride and selfish, and we want us, hey, refer to me this way. This lady said, hey, refer to me as a dog as long as I'm a dog of yours. I got a dog at home that can't read or write. I've got a dog at home that can't do anything, but you know what? That's my dog. I don't set a place at the table for that dog. I don't buy clothes for that dog, but I make sure that dog's got food. And I'm going to make sure that dog eats. And I don't care what time I get in, I'm going to give that dog food. I'm going to give that dog water. I don't care what time in the morning I have to leave, I'm going to make sure that dog is taken care of. Why? She's my dog. She's my dog. I'm going to tell you, that makes her a pretty important person in my house. When it gets too cold for her, I don't care. She's coming in with me, right? If it's raining, I think she's going to try. Yeah, I'm going to make sure she's. Why? What'd she do for me? She's my dog.
Amen. That's good.
You think she minds being called a dog? Nope. She enjoys everything I do for her. You get where I'm coming from?
Yes, sir.
We've become such sissies in the way we think about things, that we're destroying the future societies. When the Holy Spirit convicts them and says, you're out of place, you're wrong, they fight it and say, you're not going to tell me I'm wrong. I'll go over here and listen to this person tell me that, hey, I'm fine. I'm a child of God anyway, and as long as I do good, I'm going to do good. This mother fought through the first level, fought through the second level, fought through the third level. She could have stopped with this first answer of non-answer. When she came to Jesus and cried out, have mercy on me. My child is grievously vexed. She could have stopped right there and said, he didn't even answer me. She could have stopped when the disciples talked in front of her and said, look at her. She's getting on her nerves. Please give her what she wants so she can go away. What kind of embarrassment would that have been? You know, embarrassment is something you feel of yourself. It's selfish. It's a prideful thing. There'll be people that today, when the altar call is given, will be embarrassed to come up and pray to God. That's selfish. That's prideful. God won't bless that. There's people that are afraid to be able to uplift the name of Jesus in public. That's embarrassment. That's selfishness. God can't reward that. This lady, This lady had a different level of faith. She believed past her own rejection, past her own disappointment, past her own discouragement, and past her own humiliation. This lady believed past her own offensiveness, and she said, "Hey, Jesus, you're right, but listen, I'll take the crumb. I'll be whatever it is." You know what? This is where the story gets so good. I love it. This kind of faith, I like to call this fourth level faith, because she had three times where she could have given up. This fourth level faith, listen to Jesus. This is his words. "O woman, great is thy faith." Do you think Jesus puts our faith on levels? Absolutely. This same Jesus told his disciples before, "O ye of what? Little faith." Now he said, "O woman, great is thy faith." You think Jesus has got a level between faith? Which one do you think he's going to reward? So I began to ask myself, yes, of course I have faith. But if I want to see him work in my life, what level of faith do I have? Do I have a level of faith that says when it doesn't look like this financial thing is going to work out that I'm going to start just worrying and panicking and giving up and try to do this other thing? Or do I have faith that I'm his child, and do I believe Philippians where he tells me that he'll supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory? Do I have faith just to the minimal that says, I believe God's going to take care of me, but listen, I can't really spend time worshiping him because I've got to do these other things if I want to get everything out in life, and I've got this priority and this priority, so I can't make it to church, I can't make it to serve, I can't really have time to pray, I don't have time to read my Bible. Do I have that level of faith that says, hey, I believe in God, but I'm going to have to really execute my own plan? Or do I believe that if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things will be given unto me? I have to get past lower level. I have to get to second level, third level, fourth level, to really believe that he's going to do it. At that level, he says, "Oh man, great is thy faith." You say, "Well, that's good. He acknowledges your faith." That's not all he did. Let me read the rest of it. He said, "Great is thy faith," but listen to what he says, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Can I translate that to you? I will give you what you're asking for because of the level of your faith. How many prayers have I left on the table because I quit at level one, quit at level two, quit at level three? When I looked at this lady and I thought, you know what? You really believed past your own discouragement, past your own rejection, past your own humiliation. You believed in Jesus so much that you were going to battle. You were going to fight. And you were just going to use your faith to fight. And Jesus then said, "Hey, whatever you want in your heart, I want to give you." Why? Because you got to the level I wanted to. You didn't quit. Jesus never called her a dog to be rude or mean to her. He stated a societal observation that people had in those days. He stated something so that everybody could see. He stated it to her knowing that she could take offense of it. But did she go and get on the news and say, "Hey, he referred to me this way, so we need to be able to not do anything like this, or we need to be able to put him here because he said some improper speech to me"? No, you know what she did? She came and bowed at his feet because she truly believed. Her speech to God is no different than our speech to God. And I'm convinced that God is looking at our level of faith, not just our faith. If you are someone here today that's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have displayed faith in him. When you come to the place of realizing, I have to accept the Lord as my Savior in order to be saved, and you cry out to him and say, "God, I'm a sinner." You know what you're saying? "I'm a dog. I'm wrong. I'm the least of the least. I don't deserve it." That's the same thing she was saying. Yes, if I'm a Gentile, I'll go ahead and say I don't deserve it. Hold on a second. Let me say it before I bow down at your feet again. I'm not going to sit and campaign that I should deserve it. I'm going to say I don't deserve it. That's the way you got to come to Jesus. You might be in this room and say, I come from a prestigious family of Christians, and so I was raised in this particular church, or I've done these particular good works. That way you would be arguing, hey, maybe I do deserve it. Listen, the Bible tells us, for by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works can anybody boast. It's by His grace. The only way to receive grace is to ask for mercy and say, I don't deserve it. Give me something that I don't deserve.
Amen.
And that's what she did. She didn't give up. She went to the next level. I don't deserve it. Hey, right, I am not a child of Israel. I'm not a Jew. Please help me. I don't deserve it, Lord. Please help me. Should you give your miracle to me, or could you give it to somebody better? You could give it to somebody better. Please help me.
Amen.
I'm not going to quit asking you why. Well, because I'm a child. You see, you want to get to somebody's true intent, what they believe, throw a child in the mix.
That's right.
They'll battle for that child, right? I'm going to ask you today to ask yourself, first of all, do you have the initial faith? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can I share the gospel with you simply? God in heaven that created every single thing, everything that lives and breathes and moves, God in heaven that created you, that knit you together in your mother's womb, that's watched you do all the things through life, through selfishness, the bad thoughts, the selfish thoughts, the impure things, that God still loves you. He loves you so much, He took His sinless Son, somebody that would never, ever deserve to be brutally beaten and mocked and spit upon. He took His sinless Son and said, I love you so much, I want to give my own Son. I will let them slap Him and beat Him in the face. I'll let them spit on Him. I'll let them mock Him. I'll let them beat the meat off of His back. I'll let them put Him on a cross and humiliate Him. I'll let them put a sign over Him. I'll let Him do all that stuff. You know why? Because I love you. And the only way that you can have your sins forgiven and be with me is to come through that Jesus that hung on the cross for you. You accept and believe that He did that. And when you accept and believe that He did that, and you cry out to God and you say, God, save me. Not pass a class somewhere, not be good enough, but when you cry out to God and say, God, help me, I'll accept that gift that Jesus died on the cross. I'll accept His blood for my sins. When that happens, you become a child of God. That is when you have faith. If you haven't done that here today, you can step up and receive the salvation that Jesus gives you. But you have to believe. You pray. I remember speaking the other week with little Jasmine when she accepted the Lord as her Savior, explaining to her, honey, it's not just the prayer you pray. God looks at your heart the same time you pray that prayer. If your heart and your prayer match, you become a child of God. The angels in heaven start rejoicing. He gets out His pen and writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You become a child of God. You're possessed by the Holy Spirit, and you're out to be able to bring glory to God. And then, depending on your level of faith, you're going to see the blessings of God. But I don't think that I ever put as much emphasis on the level of faith. It's not just depending on your faith. That's the faith that it takes to come to God, the faith to accept Jesus as your Savior. But as for Christians here that are here or listening, understand, for you to be able to walk and see God's blessings all around you, it's not just your initial faith. You have to have a level of faith. When I began to point that back at myself, and hopefully when you begin to point at yourself, you'll ask yourself the question, what level is my faith then? This lady, this godly mom, what a great example. Let's use her example today to let us look at ourselves. If you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not completely sure that there's been a time when you've prayed and asked Him to come into your heart, I want to pray with you today. I'm going to be standing right over here. I'll make sure that we can just pray together so that you can know that you know that you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're His. that the Holy Spirit can move inside of you. You become a child of God. You're not only going to have His presence with you here in this world, you're going to live with Him eternally in heaven. You can know for sure. Not that somebody told me, I guarantee you, you will feel it. You will know. And if you've done that, but somewhere along the way, you find yourself stopping at level one, level two, and level three. Can I tell you something? You're normal. Normal people don't see the blessings of God. Peculiar people do. People that go to level four. People that don't make sense to other people. People that they would say, why are you still asking Him for that? Those people see healing in their lives. Which kind of person are you? You might be a mother here today and we've lifted you up. You ask yourself today, at what level are you praying for your child? You might be a father here today. At what level are you praying for your child? You might be someone here today that is praying for something totally unrelated. What level are you praying? God will show you. You'll have a chance to respond to Him. You do what this lady did. You come and bow down before Him. And you don't have to have a lot of fancy words. You just say, Lord, help me. He'll give you strength. You'll renew your relationship with Him today and you will leave here changed. That's all He wants. He wants you to fight past. You know, we'll give an invitation in a minute, and without a doubt, immediately, just like this woman didn't care, immediately the devil will begin to say, you don't want to go down there and pray. Somebody's going to think you have a problem. He'll begin to say, oh, look, they're going to look at you. He begins to say that. How many people have ever had that said to them? Yeah, he does. He all the time. What level of faith do you want to be able to experience the Lord at? That's not up to Him. Guess who that's up to? Us. Father God, I love You. I praise You. I thank You for this day. I pray, Lord, that You take this message. You let it resonate in our hearts and our minds. I pray, God, that You give us, Lord, such a strong voice inside of us today. I pray the Holy Spirit is not hampered to move in any way. If there's someone here, if there's someone listening that's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they're not completely sure there's been that time when they've asked You for that salvation, I pray, God, they come and see their need for salvation today. I pray they get saved. I pray they pray that prayer of salvation. And I pray, Lord, today for Christians all over this room and all those that are listening. Lord, let us look at our own selves right now to see what our level of faith is. To see at what level, Lord, we decide to do what we want to do instead of letting You heal us or heal our situation. Lord, I pray that relationships are renewed with You all over this room this morning as people bow before You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.